I'm not one for introductory comments, but I'll make this remark before we get started. I love your pastor dearly. Thankful for him. Appreciate the friendship we have, and more so than that, I appreciate the fellowship that we have. Because the fellowship that we enjoy is based upon these testimonies. Appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Man, isn't that good news? Man. I don't see where we're instructed to scare you, my children. It doesn't say that. It says in your Bible something wrong. He says, comfort ye, my people. Whose people? God's people. I'll tell you something, brethren. We serve the great shepherd, the captain of our salvation. And he loves his bride. He's taken care of his bride. He's provided for everything that she needs. He provided for us some better stuff than that, because there's some stuff we're going to enjoy when we leave this old world. And brethren, we don't know. The half of it's not been told, like those old queens that they're talking about the wisdom of Solomon. The half never been told. Brethren, we don't know the half of it. We just get the earnest of it right now. You know where we get the earnest of it? In this glorious testimony of Jesus Christ. You understand how blessed we are to have this? We know we got victory. Death is swallowed up. This is how it's going to end. A lot of people get over, I like 21, you know, Revelation 21, they want to talk about New Jerusalem coming down. Then they get over there in Matthew 24 and they say, all one's going to be grinding, one taking one. Let me tell you something, that happened. 69 A.D., they came in there and tore that place up. Folks were killed, they ran for the hills. But there's coming a day when this kingdom's going to be delivered up. And you're going to understand just what a victory we have on that day. Oh, we get glimpses, we get pieces of it, and there's times that we feel so lifted up in the Spirit that we know we got it. But brethren, there's times that we experience in this life that we feel so beat down, we feel so faint, that we don't feel like we can put one foot in front of the other. Y'all ever been there? We get there. I've been there in my life. I told him we're so broke when just my wife and I first got married. My son, for a long time, just ate mayonnaise sandwiches because we couldn't afford bologna. I mean, it was bad. And there was times that I needed to call on somebody to help me. And you know, I was blessed. I could call on mom and daddy. They could help me. But you know what, brother? We don't always have mom and daddy. But our Heavenly Father is always there. And He is a very present help in times of trouble. He's very present. He's right there, brother. We're talking about one. I want you to think about how the Lord delivers. When Peter, and brother, don't get on Peter, because Peter got out of the boat. And a lot of us just wander around life holding on to a life raft. Peter got out of the boat. He stepped out. And he didn't walk out on calm waters, brethren. The waves were crashing. There was waves that were huge. The wind was blowing. And he stepped out of the boat. And he began walking to him. And when he began to sink, why did he sink? He started to look around at the stuff. All the perils and all the junk and all the things happening. And the waves and the wind. And you know, he said, Lord, save. And you know what it said? It said, immediately. That's good news, brother. That's a very present help, you understand. Immediately, they were on the other side. But one time we see where the brethren were caught in the same type of situation. And they went down and woke the Lord up. But when the Lord started out, He said, let's go to the other side. We're going to the other side. And then the waves got up and the winds got up. And the Lord was asleep on a pillow. I don't know why he needed a pillow, but he had one and he was asleep. And they woke him up and said, Lord, awake lest we perish. How many times do we forget? Brother, we're not just going out in the middle of the sea. We're going to the other side. Those brethren forgot. Lord, when we started off, he said, we're going to the other side. Brother, let me tell you something. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefilable, that fadeth not away, and it's reserved for you who are kept by what? Your faith, your walk, your life? Absolutely not. By the power of God. Brethren, you can rest assured in that. Amen. There's confidence in that. Do you understand what that means? I want to pose a question to you. I'm a football fan. If you knew what the final score was going to be before you ever walked onto the field, how would you play? If you knew that there was absolutely no way that your opponent could defeat you, or let's say this. Let me pose this a different way because that's not a real good illustration. We're going to change gears. Let's say that, Lord, I hope it never comes to this, but let's say we're being attacked by an enemy. And we're fixing to have to go out onto the battlefield. And we're going out here to face a foe. And he's coming at us with everything that they've got. And I come to you and I said, I got good news for you, brethren. We're going to go on the battlefield today. And we're going to face a formidable foe. But there's not a single hair on your head going to fall to the ground. You're not going to suffer the loss of one casualty. There is no weapon that they have that can defeat you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. How would you go on to the field? Well, tell you what, brother, you want to go guns a-blazing, right out in the front, not worried about anything. Why? Because you know there's a victory that's assured. Well, I'm telling you, that's the way it is for us, brethren. We know that we have victory. Because Jesus Christ secured it. But that old spider, man, he'll get you thinking you're so beat down and drugged down and faint in your minds and you just can't make it. Oh, I know we all have them pity parties. Lord knows, brethren, I'm right there with you. I have them too. Everybody does. Preachers have them. We don't need to show y'all we have them, but we have them. We all face them. But you know there's good news? Because we have something that helps us. You know, I've got brothers in the flesh, and I've got family in the flesh that I love dearly. But my brothers in the spirit are far more closer to me than brethren that are kin to me by flesh. Because there's something that unites us in a special way. Oh, I've got great friends. I've got friends that preach among all mother orders, and I love them, and we're good friends. But we do not have fellowship. We don't have that. We got friendship. Sometimes we find out our friends are fair weather friends, because when the water gets hot, they depart. But you know, I've seen brethren, when nobody else was there, I've seen families in a hospital, and there was nobody else there that was related to them, but their brethren in Christ was gathered there. They was there praying for them. They was there helping them. They was there showing their love to them. Brother, I'm going to tell you what you have in this little precious embassy is a precious thing. It's a glorious thing that we have it. Because, brethren, not only do we have the victory, Christ has declared unto us by His Word that we have the victory. He sent laboring ministers and servants unto you to proclaim the glorious victory we have in Christ. That He has a bride, and that she's spotless, and she's without blemish, and she's going to be presented perfect. Perfect. She's not going to be missing any member. That's good news, isn't it? Real good news. She's not going to miss any member. She's going to be perfect. We've got this precious knowledge. We have this precious truth. And not only we have that, we're blessed with one another. We're blessed with this glorious kingdom. That's folks looking for it. Brethren, it's here. It's here. We got it. Canaan's land. Canaan's land is a church, brethren. Mm-hmm. But if it's heaven, we got problems. Because Moses didn't make it. Canaan's land is a beautiful picture of the church. And there's a lot of folks that died in the wilderness. God's children died in the wilderness and never entered into Canaan's land. A lot of people get up in arms about that. I'm going to tell you this, brother. Rest assured, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. That's good enough for me, but I'm going to tell you what. Those of you that profess this faith, my concern is for you. My concern and desire is for you that we might be blessed together to gather in the kingdom, in Canaan's land, and that we might be blessed to see something that gives us strength, that gives us encouragement, not that beats you down, brother. You can get that elsewhere. Lord have mercy. You can go outside, turn the news on, CNN, you can get it. All right? We don't want that stuff. We want to build up. We want to edify. We want to encourage. And sometimes we have to rebuke. But if y'all ever left the church house and your toes felt like they'd been squashed flat, but you just rejoiced in your heart when you left. You leave feeling so bad, but it feels so good. I've experienced that in my life. It lets me know the Lord's dealing with me. You know, when the Lord chastises you, you can rejoice in that. When the Lord burdens your heart, when the Lord chastises you, you can rejoice in that. You can be thankful for it because He deals with His children. You understand? He chastises His children. I don't chastise them or not His. He chastises His. But there's something that we get here now in a special and a mighty and a powerful way when we do what we're supposed to do. I'm going to qualify this statement. Over in Acts, the 3rd chapter, in the 19th verse, we're going to get through. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Brother, I'm going to say something. We need repentance in our lives. You understand? We got sin which does so easily beset us, and saying, I'm sorry I've done it and doing it again, that ain't repentance. We need repentance in our lives. We need to depart from iniquity. We need to humble ourselves and pray that God bless and God deliver. Those are the things we need to be seeking. Many times I know that we get weary and we say, Lord, just forgive me of all my sin. Let me tell you something, brethren. We need to think about our sin. We need to think about it individually. We need to think about it in particular. And we need to pray God bless us to overcome it in our life for our benefit. Not that you might get heaven and a mode of glory, brethren, but that you might enjoy the blessings that God has for you right here, right now. There's blessings in obedience, brethren. And I'm going to tell you, just as true as that is, I want you to understand this, there's chastisement in disobedience. If God didn't give you the other side of the coin, He wouldn't be God. Because God is God, He has to chastise. And He blesses because He says He would. Repent you therefore. Now we need to repent. We need repentance in our life. And be converted. Converted means to be moved from error to truth. Right. Now, let me tell you this. This is where the Bible really starts getting important. Do you want to know what truth is? You got it. Paul told Timothy. He didn't tell Timothy, study to show thyself approved a workman. Needs not to be ashamed, writing about the truth from error. He didn't say that. Brother, there's no error in this book. Do you believe this is the inspired Word of God? You believe this is the only rule of faith and practice? You believe this is it? You believe this is the command of God? You believe this is the testimony of Jesus Christ? You believe this is what gives us the victory? It declares unto us, don't give us, it declares unto us the victory we have. Do you believe that this reveals something to you that's beneficial to you? Because if you can hear it, Jesus Christ said, he who hath ears here to hear, let him hear. If you got an ear to hear it, brother, it's because you got a receiver to hear it with. You can only receive it by the Spirit. The things that are in the Spirit can all be received by the Spirit. Natural man can't receive these things. You know, a hog don't know the difference between a kernel of corn and a pearl. They'll eat them both just the same and run right on through them just like everything else. Oh, but when you know what that is, and that means something to you, you understand what a great, precious pearl we have. Oh, it's precious. Brethren have given their lives for this precious pearl. Oh, but we're so lackadaisical today, we can't even depart from a golf course. We get so hung up in the idolatries of this world. I live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They got a place of worship. They worship there every Saturday, just about as it rolls. 100-something thousand people gather up and they worship at Bryant Denny Stadium. I like football just as well as the next, brethren, but let me explain something to you. There's things in life that are more important. We need repentance. We need to understand what priorities are. We need to understand what principle is. We need to understand what we've been blessed with. We need to understand the preciousness of it. And we don't need to let the shimmering, glittering gold of this old world that's going to be melted and burnt with a fervent heat anyway rob us from the pure, true treasures that we have. Because it'll do it. It'll do it, brethren. We think we're so strong. He who thinketh he standeth better take heed lest he fall. You think you're so good? We think we can dabble in stuff, don't we? There's things you dabble in, folks, that stick to you. But they're not good for you. We know dabbling needs to be done. We need to try to be pure in heart as we serve it. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted. Well, let's get the rest of this. That your sins may be blotted out. For whose benefit? It sure ain't for God's, brethren. It's for yours. That your sins might be blotted out for you. You know one of Satan's tricks? He make you feel so bad about yourself. And you are a sinner, but let me tell you something. You're God's saint. We don't need to forget that. He's called us to be saints. We don't need to forget that part of it. Yes, we're sinners. Yes, we wrestle with sin. Yes, we have a nature about us that works out, which is absolutely contrary to God. But brethren, I got good news for you. There's something within you that works that which is in accordance to God. There's a part of you that cannot sin. You know that? Go where 1 John. The very Spirit of God within us, He cannot sin. But this old flesh we got, we have to wrestle with it every day. And sometimes, the old flesh starts getting the best of us and we say, I can't beat it. I give up. Fourth quarter, coach, I can't go anymore. Put somebody else in. Look at this. You ever need times of refreshing? This is where you're going to find it. Repent. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out. This is for your own justification. That when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You need refreshing, brethren. I need refreshing from time to time. There's a reason I come to be with you, dear brethren. Because just as sure as this, and I don't know how much time I got, and I'll try to bring my remarks to a close, but all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Y'all believe that, brethren? You believe you shall have a son? A virgin shall be with child? She's going to bring forth a son. His name's going to be called Jesus. And He shall save His people from their sins. Do you believe that? Yeah. I believe it. Do you believe that there's an inheritance reserved for you? It's incorruptible. You can't mess that up. That's what that means. It's undefilable. And it fadeth not away. That's why we sing that old song. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. It's not going to fade away. Brother, you believe God loves His children with an everlasting love? Amen. You believe that there's nothing, Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things come, nor any other creature. You know what? You put yourself in that because you're a creature. Can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You believe that? Let me ask you if you believe this. You believe there's a promise in God's Word, and this promise is just as sure as every other one that we've looked at. He says, wherever one or two are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. I ain't got time to go look at it, but you can go over there and look at Psalms 22. Oh, that's a beautiful picture there. Maybe we get time to look at it later on. But in Psalms 22, you'll see there, do you know where He declares the name? In the midst of the congregation. in the midst of the congregation. Brother, you want to know what the gospel is preached? In the midst of the congregation. You ever got things on tape? Just wasn't like being there. You listen to it on tape, and you got brethren telling you, man, it's kind of like going over to Canaan's land. There were grapes as big as basketballs. They were so big it took two of us burning them on a stave to bring them back. Brother says, oh, really? It couldn't have been like that. Yeah, it was. That's what the Bible said it was. Y'all ever been in a meeting like that? There were grapes as big as basketballs. The Spirit of the Lord was so thick, we felt Him move among us. We saw Him in the faces of our brethren, in the saints' faces. Oh, we felt His Spirit. You can't get that on a CD. Can't get it. You know where He declares it? In the presence, in the midst of the congregation. Brother, I'm going to tell you, this gospel and this fellowship we have, and I didn't nearby get everything I want to get done, but we got the rest of the week, yeah, I suppose. I want you to know this, that just as sure as I believe those things, I want you to know I believe this, that the Lord manifests His presence and we see the times of refreshing in the midst of the congregation. Do you need times of refreshing because you feel weary? Well, you know what Satan's going to tell you? Well, you don't need to go get amongst the congregation because you're not worthy to sit with them. You're feeling all beat down and poor, pitiful me. Well, you know what? There's brethren in the congregation that'll pray for you. There's brethren in the congregation that love you. There's brethren. I just want to make this one point. We all different members make up one body. Y'all got that? We all have different talents, abilities, gifts the Lord gives them to us. We complement one another. We're not all eyes. We're not all ears. And somebody, they might get this little thought comes in their head. They say, well, I'm nothing more than a little pinky toe. And if I'm not there, they'll never miss me. I want you to go look at Judges in the first chapter. You'll find that there was about 70 kings who had had their thumbs and their great toes cut off and they sat at the king's table. Let me tell you something. If I had 70 enemies and I cut off their great toe and their thumb, you know what they can't do? They're not going to be able to pick up a sword because they don't have a thumb. If they do manage to pick it up, they sure can't wield it very good. The other thing is, I played football with a boy named Two Toes Towns, and I always share this story because this is where I understood what this meant. Two Toes Townsend signed a scholarship his senior year, and sometime between the time he signed his scholarship and the time we reported, he was in a bad three-wheeler accident, and he got his foot stuck in the sprocket of a three-wheeler, and it popped the three toes in the middle off. But it left his big toe, and it left his little pinky toe, and the trainers, he was worried to death that he was going to lose his scholarship because it was going to knock time off of his 40, and he wasn't a real big fella, he was fast. So if you take away his speed, he really don't have much to offer, so therefore he probably wouldn't have a scholarship. But you know what the doctor said? Son, you was blessed because you lost the three toes in the middle. But if you'd have lost your big toe or your little toe, we wouldn't be talking about worrying about how fast your 40 is going to be. We'd be trying to teach you to learn how to walk again. Did y'all know that? A pinky toe and a big toe. You take one of them out, you have to learn how to walk all over again, just like a little baby. That's going to be very effective. Brethren, we together as a body, this body right here, Cool Springs as a body. This is real now. There's foes out there. We have an adversary out there. The brother told you about it. But don't think by any spance of the means you have to face your adversaries alone. You're blessed with your brethren. You're blessed with one another. I know I thank God for the fellow laborers that I can depend on, that I can console in, that I can confide in, that I can seek counsel with. Oh, they're a blessing to me. I thank the Lord that I can leave Alabama and drive over here in the midst of Georgia and meet with a group of people and I can feel like I'm at home because there's some kind of bond that joins us together in kinship and in fellowship. And the bond is the gospel that we have, that we rejoice in, this faith which was once delivered to the saints, wherein we still endeavor to stand. It strengthens us. It encourages us. And the brother told you, as the day approaches, I'm going to share this with you. I want you to remember Two Toes Townsend. I don't want you to remember him in the illustration, but what I want you to understand is this. Had he lost his little pinky toe, he'd have had to learn to walk all over again. When this body comes together, you get up on Sunday morning and say, well, I might want to go fishing today. Surely the brethren won't miss me today or Sunday evening or whenever y'all meet. Brethren, when this body comes together, you know who needs to be here? All of it. All of it. You know why? Because, brethren, I believe God's Word is true. I believe it's the inspired Word of God. And I believe this, brethren, it's profitable for you while you sojourn in this low ground of sin and sorrow. Over in Hebrews, this is 10th chapter, 22nd verse. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. You know what full assurance means? Not doubting. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an even conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Brother, God is faithful. When He promises, let me tell you something about God we serve. When He speaks, things happen. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Then a few days later, He created the sun, moon, and the stars. You think about that. That's the way our God works. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Well, brother, if I'm going to provoke you to love and good works, you know where I got to be? I got to be with you. Amen. You know where you got an opportunity to be with your brethren and provoke them unto love and to good works? When the congregation, in the midst of the assembly, when we gather together for the purpose of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I can call you from Alabama and say, brethren, I love y'all. Hate I couldn't be with you. But when I come here, I can show my love to you. Because I'm here. That's why He says this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more. As you see the day approaching, the day of victory is coming. Let me tell you something. A lot of people worry about when the end of time is coming. Lord, come quickly. I hope it's tonight. It could be tomorrow. I don't care. Just come quickly. But I know this for a fact. We're one day closer today than we were yesterday. The day's approaching. Don't forsake one another. Oh, Satan gets all ramped up because he understands he's whipped. He's absolutely destroyed and he's beaten. And he wants to rob you of every joy you have. And brother, let me tell you something. He can't touch your life, but he can rob you of the joys you should have. He can rob your brethren of the joys they should have because you just might be the pinky toe and you need to be there when the saints assemble together. Brethren, we don't need to forsake the assembling of the saints. I pray to God that I have revival in my life. And you know where that starts? If I'm going to have revival and refreshing from the presence of the Lord, I got to repent in my life. And when I repent in my life, I pray my family repents. And I pray that my family impacts my church family. And I pray that our church family impacts our community. And I pray, brethren, we're the witnesses we're called to be. Not to save somebody to heaven and immortal glory. I hope y'all understand me well enough to know I don't believe that. But the preaching of the gospel is salvation for the believer. Go to Romans 1st chapter. Brethren, the world will tell you, if you're a believer, you're saved. This stuff right here is salvation for the saved. Amen. Salvation for the saved. May we not depart from it. May we understand every truth. And may we draw closer to Him each day. May the Lord bless us, I pray.